And the scripture today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus calls the first disciples. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now Jesus ministers to crowds of people. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Charlotte, and thank you, choir. I requested the choir reprise that anthem this morning that they sang in January, because when I first heard it, it reminded me of a story that Robert Fulghum told in his book, "It Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It." If you know this story, I hope you appreciate it, hearing it again, because I'm going to share that story. Robert Fulghum is a Unitarian Universalist minister who wrote the popular book, All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, and he's written some other things as well as interesting title, It Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It. So if you haven't read the book, it's a fun reading. But the story that I want to share with you, Fulghum begins with a question. And the question is, are there any questions? And he says, that question gets frequently answered, asked at the end of a seminar or a long meeting, maybe even a college lecture. And it gets asked when most people are ready to leave, or they have a question like, can we go now? Or what the hell was this meeting about anyway? But Fulghum wrote that if there was a little time left and nobody else asked a question, he would ask the most important question there is. What is the meaning of life? And the response is frequently just like Lowell gave. Now, people would laugh or titter, and they would go on packing up and preparing to leave. And Fulghum writes that once, only once in his life, when he asked that question, did he get a serious response. But he first sets the context for where the response came. He writes that near the village of Gonia, on a rocky bay on the island of Crete, there is a Greek Orthodox monastery. And next to the monastery, on land donated by the monastery, is an institute that has been dedicated to human understanding and peace, especially to rapprochement between the Germans and the Cretans, which seems like an improbable task given the bitter residue of World War II. For the monastery and the institute, as they're set, you can look out on the hillsides on either side. And there is, on one side, a large cross that marks mass graves of Cretan partisans. And on the other side, the regimented crosses of a German cemetery where paratroopers were buried, because just above the monastery was an airfield that the German paratroopers landed on, and they were met with resistance by the Cretan peasants with scythes and knives, and the retribution, whole villages were slaughtered when it became known that the partisans attacked Hitler's elite troops. And so, as you looked up from the institute, you could see the cemetery on one side of the rocky bay that held the graves, mass graves of the Cretans, and the other side, the regimented crosses of the German soldiers. So against this heavy curtain of history, he writes, in this place where the stone of hatred is hard and thick, the existence of an institute devoted to the healing the wounds of war is a fragile paradox. How has it come to be here? And the answer is the vision of one man, Alexander Papaderos. A doctor of philosophy, a teacher, a politician, a citizen of Athens, but a native of Crete. At the end of World War II, Papaderos came to believe that the Germans and the Cretans had much to give each other and much to learn from each other. And he believed they had an example to set. For if they could forgive each other and construct a creative relationship, then any people should be able to do that. And to make this story short, Papaderos succeeded. His vision became a reality. This institute dedicated to understanding and peace became a reality, a conference ground on the horror. And it has been a source of productive interaction between the two countries and their citizens. And it was at this place that Fulgham writes, he had come to a two-week seminar on Greek history and culture that had been organized by Alexander Papaderos. And he writes about Papaderos that by the time he met them, he had become a living legend. And when you saw his strength and his intensity, his energy, his physical power, his courage, his passion and intelligence, you were moved. And I like this sentence he said. He wrote, "Few men live up to their reputations when you get close." Alexander Papaderos was an exception. So it was on the last morning of a two-week session that Papaderos had organized and brought in scholars and experts from all over Greece, that Papaderos moved from the back of the room to the front and asked that usual question. Are there any questions? And Fulgham says, I had enough questions for a lifetime. But there was silence in the room. So he asked that question. Dr. Papaderos, what is the meaning of life? And there was the usual titters. This response to this absurd question. But he said, Papaderos raised his hand, quieted the room, and looked at me intently, and could tell I was serious. And he said, I will answer your question. And then he reached in his hip pocket and took out his wallet, and he removed from his wallet a small round mirror about the size of a quarter. And he said, when I was a small child, during the war, we were very poor and we lived in a remote village. And one day I came along this road and there had been a wreck of a German motorcycle and the mirror was broken. And I tried to pick up the pieces and put them back together and I couldn't. But I took the largest piece and I began to rub it on the stones and make it round. I kept it. And I began to play with it as a toy and became fascinated by the fact that I could reflect into light into dark places where the sun would never shine, in deep holes and crevices and dark closets. And Papaderos said, it became a game for me to get light into the darkest places I could find. I kept the mirror. And as I grew up, on occasions, I would take it out in idle moments and continue the challenge of the game. But as I became a man, I grew to understand that this was not just a child's game, but it was a metaphor for my life. I came to understand that I am not the light, or the source of light, but light, understanding, knowledge is there. And it will only shine in many dark places if I reflect it. And Fulgham said, what he said then went something like this: I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the dark places in the hearts of men and women, and change some of them, some people. And perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I'm about. This is the meaning of my life. And then Fulgham reports that he took the mirror and the bright sun was, Cretan sun was shining through the windows, and he looked out at that cross and took the mirror and shined the light on Fulgham's face and his folded hand. Isn't that the meaning of our life as well? To reflect the light of Christ into the dark places of this world? Into the dark places of people's hearts and minds? Like Papadaros, we know we're not the light. We're not the source of the light. But we're about reflecting the light. Last Sunday, scripture from Matthew talked about being the light of the world and not putting your light under a bushel, but sharing it, reflecting it, letting it shine. That's what we're called to do and to be. That's why I asked the choir to sing that hymn, that anthem again. That we might reflect the light of Christ in all that we do and all that we are. Bringing healing and hope and compassion into the world, turning despair into hope, darkness into light, hatred into love. Let us be about reflecting the light of Christ in all we are and all we do. Amen.